Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And together, a big welcome to all of the Buckmaster Show listeners. On this, it's Monday, October the 5th, already 2020. We are bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Of course, we have all of our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's also the place for all of our podcasts. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website, now open for e-commerce, making it very easy. You can do your shopping from the comfort of your home, featuring the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique maps and prints. There's some really beautiful items there, and they are very reasonably priced, and we're talking about several hundred-year-old items, and would make a real nice addition to your den or wherever you do your Zooming. It always adds a little class to have something nice over your shoulder, right? Family-owned and run, Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Every Monday, we do kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off with a different team of commentators each week. We have two regular teams, and one of the regular teams is made up of Mr. Bruce Ash. Bruce served 13.5 years as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Dr. Don Jorgensen is here as well, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how was your weekend?
Well, it was wonderful enjoying this nice, cool fall weather in Tucson.
Oh, mornings only.
The mornings are beautiful. I actually was out handing out, doing lit drops to doors without knocking on the doors.
Oh, for some of the candidates?
For local candidates.
Yeah. Very good. So, mid-60s when we first get up in the morning, and then it quickly warms up to some of the hottest temperatures ever recorded in October. But the good news, this may be the last week of our endless summer, Bruce Ash. Bruce, how are you?
Hope so. Great. Thank you.
Listen to your show, and I should have mentioned in your intro that Bruce hosts Inside Track at 1 o'clock each Saturday afternoon, and you were here live, right?
Yes, sir. Ed was on a beach someplace. I was here live, and we had Andy Puzder from the administration with us, and Brendan Martin and Brendan Lyons.
Oh, you had the two Brendan?
The Brendan and Brandan. I had the Gonzaleses with the S and with the Z the
and
week
the Brandans
before.
With the A, not the O.
Right. But it was a good show, and I have a great set of guests that are set up for this week.
All right. Don, how is this news about the president and some of the inner circle testing positive going to affect the campaign?
Well, first of all, let me say we're certainly glad to hear that the president is likely to be discharged in a few hours and fortunate to be able to go back to the White House, which essentially has a home medical unit. So he's not out of the woods, but certainly the signs are good, and we're all glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. You set politics aside. I mean, this is a human being and his family. The way it's affecting the campaign is that this has once again risen to the top, and I think will stay as the primary issue for the American people to consider when we look at the impact of the coronavirus and, again, the failure of this administration to address it effectively. The president and now 14 people in his immediate orbit have tested positive or been afflicted by it, and so they've become a symbol of the administration's own failure to deal effectively and have no effective plan to deal with it. It's really been a failure of kind of a combination of ignorance, of recklessness, and really arrogance. And unfortunately, we're still seeing that even yesterday as the president was hopefully recovering from this disease. He was endangering people around him. You know, he said he learned from it now and understood it or whatever the words were. And then he proceeded to go out and put Secret Service agents at risk of exposure. Who knows who he encountered on the way in and out? I mean, it's just a continual wanton disregard for anyone but himself. And I think because of what's happened and that inability to really understand it and change it to do anything appropriate or effective, that will continue to be the issue that's most on the minds of the American people from now until November 3rd.
Do you disagree, Bruce? I assume you do.
I don't know, why would you assume I disagree?
I just assume it'd be a safe bet.
You mean that like a shriveled up prune looked on my face? No, look, I concur with some of what Donna said regarding learning lessons, and I think the president and lots of others have been learning lessons. Part of what we're learning, as we all know, is the numbers. You practically have a better chance of getting hit in a crosswalk. Of course, not here in Tucson, because your chances of getting hit in a crosswalk here or outside of one are pretty great. But the level of morbidity, let's not get into the argument, oh, Bruce, you're so insensitive to those people who have died. We've actually had fewer people this year in the United States die than died in 2019, even with the virus, with 208,000 people. And I think part of that is because so many of the reported deaths from the Chinese virus have been where COVID may have been in their system, but they died clearly from something else. There's lots of reasons why that happened. We don't have to get into those today in terms of how the reporting was handled. But I think that We see a vaccine on the way. It's interesting. Just last week, Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson have all reported that they are doing at-risk production of the vaccines so that it can be available for people here in the United States and as well as around the world.
So they are producing now the vaccine?
Right now. Hmm. And you know, they may waste, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of work, but they're willing. We're going to have Jack McGettigan from the Quality of Life Medical Center on the show this upcoming Saturday, and he's going to talk about some of the things that are going on with the virus and the vaccine. The vaccine is not, though, completely the answer. Look, when I came into the station here, you know, I was masked up. I don't want to create a problem for somebody else. And I happen to be somebody who's taken the vaccine, or at least, you know, presumably probably have, based upon my outcomes.
Which
after,
manufacturer?
Moderna.
Okay.
That's the one that Quality of Life
is
doing.
I think the
here.
One that's interesting, Don and Bruce, is the one that only requires one shot, and that's the Johnson & Johnson one.
Yeah, and look, that'll be good. I think there's no one vaccine that's probably going to be the one that succeeds here.
Maybe a stable of them.
There could be, and that just means that more people here in this country and around the world get it.
Should they go ahead with the debate? Now, if depending on when President Trump was first diagnosed with the positive, you got to have a quarantine of at least 14 days. That puts it right up to the second debate here.
It does, and testing negative and making sure everyone there and around both candidates and everyone tests negative.
Must wear a mask.
Right. And you saw the debacle in Cleveland where the Trump folks got there too late to be tested. Most of their people in the audience refuse to wear a mask. So if we're looking at that same callous disregard for the rules and health and safety of folks, may not be a good idea.
Almost.
But whether the debate goes on is really up to Donald Trump at this point, whether he's healthy enough to do it and whether he agrees to the health and safety requirements, really, for not just the two candidates, but everyone there. I know that everything I've read indicates that Joe Biden is willing to go ahead. He's certainly shown the utmost respect for the president and his
recovery. He canceled
recovery.
All of his negative advertising.
Right. The Trump campaign did not. The Biden campaign did. That's one of the differences. But, you know, we hope that the president is healthy enough to stand again before the American people and hopefully have a sincere debate and not the disaster we saw last week.
Well, as you can see from the picture from today's Wall Street Journal, the president was wearing a mask. He'd taken it off just
on
as,
his hand.
just as the debate began. And don't forget, nearly all of the people in the president's immediate orbit, those people who are with him, are tested almost daily for the virus. And that's how the president got to know as quickly as he did that he had come down with the virus. So, you know, I think the debate will go on. I don't expect the rules are going to be changed. The president had a good first debate, and certainly got issues into the public's eye that hadn't been gotten out before. Well, what I thought was really, really interesting, though, and by the way, I don't think that, I'll just say this as a blanket statement, and Don, you're welcome to give us your opinion. I don't think that the virus or the debate has or will make any difference in the outcome of the election.
Okay.
I think most people have made up their minds and they know how they're going to vote.
Okay.
You know, I thought so in 2016, they were still undecided. There, after 4 years, there can't be anybody who's undecided about this unless you've been living under a rock.
I tend to agree with you. I don't know how many undecideds you think there are, Don, but I think people make their mind up already.
Well, in most of the recent polls, they're only showing between 6 and 8% undecided.
Yeah,
so I
seems
think Bruce
high
is correct
to me,
about
but,
that.
Yeah, that's,
it could it, be high.
But,
and couple that with the fact that, as we're going to see in Arizona, you'll have thousands and thousands of votes already cast
yes,
before the next
that's true,
debate.
Because we have our early balloting. The ballots go out tomorrow.
Right. So I think it kind of reflects back to your previous question. So the reminder of the failure of this administration to deal with the coronavirus effectively, they couldn't even keep it out of the White House, despite the fact that it was probably the most protected place on earth, is going to have a major impact. And I want to follow up on something Bruce mentioned,
real quickly,
too,
we're at the break time.
That they are tested every day. So mm-hmm. they knew that Hope Hicks was positive. They knew they were exposed to a positive person and still went out and exposed campaign donors and lots of other Americans at their rallies.
All right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com is our presenter of the Monday Political Face-Off. Here's some good news that I think everyone in this room, and I think pretty much everybody in town agrees. Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise is home of the Danish Kringle, and they have wonderful bakery goods. Both days, Saturday and Sunday, I made a Mona's run for my breakfast for an almond croissant, and I am so glad I did. It was absolutely delicious. Mona's open for breakfast, lunch, indoor, and patio dining. Plus, you want to do an online order or call ahead for a pickup? That's fine. Mona's open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday 7 to 2. See you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And believe me, judging by the number of people that were there as I picked up my almond croissant, everybody has discovered Mona's. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowland Dodge. And again, I want to emphasize, check out their website, which is moesgallery.com. Check out their newly revamped website for all of their e-commerce. Some beautiful things now for sale over the internet. And if you don't get their website exactly right, if you put in Google Moe's Tucson, it will come up. Moe's Gallery, you're gonna get there. All right, Bruce Ash is here and Don Jorgensen. Bruce, let's leave national politics and turn our attention to state politics. I know you feel very strongly about Proposition 208, sometimes referred to as Tax the Wealthy Education Measure. What's your opposition to that?
Well, actually, I feel just as strongly about 207, which is on recreational marijuana. But George Larson wrote a special piece for the Arizona Daily Star, I think over the weekend. And George is one of the principals at Larson Baker Real Estate. And as George described himself, he's a wealthy old geezer. He's a very sweet guy. I've known George for a long, long time. You'll never meet anybody who's more decent and good-natured than George. But George makes a great point when he opines that we're doing the same thing with this wealth tax tax the wealthy, soak the wealthy tax, as has been done in places like California, Illinois, and New York. Number one, they haven't improved their educational attainments and outcomes in those states. Number two, businesses are leaving like crazy. And number three, it stifles new growth, new jobs, and so on. To say that somebody who's making $500,000 is wealthy is a relative thing. To a guy who's making not much more than minimum wage, he's fabulously wealthy. But the things that happen when employers are employing and when employers are making money, it inures to the benefit of the employees. And I've always been opposed to anybody in my party, because oftentimes we only relate to the business owners. I'm more interested in the people who work for those businesses. We need more jobs here in this state. We need better paying jobs in this state. And we're not going to get better paying jobs. We're not going to get the quality companies who are leaving places like California if we start soaking the wealthy.
You're calling it a job killer.
It's a job killer. Absolutely. And a tax killer as well.
Don Jorgensen, but others might argue that a business would look at Arizona and we're ranked what? 49 to 50, and they would be reluctant to come here.
That's right. I'll come back to that. My first point is this proposition came about, and Mr. Larson didn't address this, as a result of the long-term failure of the Republican legislation and Republican governors to adequately fund education in Arizona. Had they done that, there would be no need for this proposition. No one likes to be taxed, but as long as we understand the reasons for taxing, people want to make sure that folks are being taxed fairly. That's part of this, but it's really about funding education that the Republicans have refused to do for decades. And your point is right. Study after study, survey after survey of corporations looking to locate in Arizona, or often choosing not to, is not because of the tax rates. It's because of the status of the quality and availability of good quality education and the funding for education. They look at a state's priorities and they realize that, according to this legislature, the priority for funding education is low. And that has turned away more companies from relocating here than has the tax rate. That's the issue there. Because, as you know, when corporations come, and Bruce knows this too, they're really interviewing the families, and certainly the families of the leaders of those corporations, who want to make sure their kids have good schools to go to. And that's not the case, or certainly not the case it could be, if it's adequately funded. And this is the answer to that failure on the part of the legislature in Arizona.
You know, one of the problems with history is that it tells the story about what's happened for a long, long time. You go back into the state, and, you know, this state was basically run by Democrats pretty much from statehood all the way through, beginning in the mid-60s when Republicans began to have an influence. You go back into the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, and maybe that's unfair because of the Depression, but certainly in the 20s, everybody said that Arizona, the Democrats who ran the state, weren't putting enough money into education. Now, I would agree that there was a massive amount of money that got taken from education when we went through the bone-crunching recession that we did in 2008 to 2011 or so. The legislature has put back in with, I think, a fair amount of prodding from the Red for Ed movement and so on, put a ton of money back into it. However, when that money came in, certainly didn't go to teachers, which is what the intention was when everybody was voting for that and the whole Red for Ed thing was going on. It was very disappointing. We have to look to our school districts, and locally here in town, we have several bad examples of school districts who have misspent money and aren't putting enough money into the classrooms.
Mm. Gentlemen, I do want to promote our District 1. It's not really a debate. Just like when we had the sheriff on Friday, we had that sheriff's race. It's more of a conversation with the candidates. And Friday, here on the Buckmaster Show, it's the Pima County Supervisorial District 1 face-off. Rex Scott, who is a Democrat, and he believes, Don, that he's got as good a shot, really, as any Democrat since 1972, and that, Don, was the last time that a Democrat won that supervisorial district. That was Ron Asta back in 1972 that won that. And Mr. Scott is facing off against Steve Spain, who is a candidate that Allie Miller endorsed. And Bruce, you had Mr. Spain on your program, on Saturday. So it's going to be interesting. That district is becoming more purple.
It is. There's two reasons Rex Scott has a real good chance to take this seat. Number one, it has the Republican advantage in terms of voter registration has decreased from over 12,000 to less than 4,000. So it's still a Republican advantage, but you might call it winnable in that sense. Second, Rex Scott is probably the strongest candidate, not just Democratic candidate, strongest candidate that District 1 has seen in a very long time. He's a moderate Democrat. As you may know, he was originally a Republican, then independent, then saw the light and became a Democrat many years ago. But his first concern has always been for the community. He's an educator, been a principal of several schools, high schools and middle schools in the area. He knows the community. He knows the area. He's a great communicator. And he's able to understand and address the issues. And as you mentioned, as opposed to Mr. Spain, who is Allie Miller's handpicked favorite for this seat. So I think you're going to see a great contrast, not just in philosophies, but in knowledge and experience and ability to lead. And,
right.
And that's a key.
Bruce, quickly on Mr. Spain.
Mr. Scott says he's a moderate. Don says he's a moderate, but his policies and his actions show otherwise. And Steve Spain will be in the mold of Allie Miller, who probably has represented District 1 as well as any supervisor has in a number of years. we don't need to have a 4-1 majority on this board. We already have enough bad policies that come out of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Elect Steve Spain, and you're going to get somebody who is continually in the county administrator's face calling to question his policies and ideas and forcing this radical Pima County Board of Supervisors to start acting in the interests of Pima County residents, all of them.
Well, we need someone who will represent all the people of District 1, not just the far right.
All right. We have CBS Network News coming up at 31 past the hour, which is a minute away, I believe. So we've got, we can quickly say here that the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out the revamped and updated website, looking real good to do your e-commerce. The website is moesgallery.com, and Moe's Gallery Fine Framing is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and they would be delighted if you want to stop by. Bruce, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again. I think we're on the week before the election.
Yep.
The day before.
Yeah. There's two weeks still coming up.
All right,
Don, thanks
for
coming.
One more chance to go.
Yeah, one more chance.
Thank you both.
Be right back.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump will head back to the White House in a few hours, despite ongoing treatment for the coronavirus. His physician, Dr. Sean Conley.
Over the past 24 hours, the president has continued to improve. He's met or exceeded all standard hospital discharge criteria. He'll receive another dose of remdesivir here today, and then we plan to get him home.
Dr. Conley has just updated reporters outside Walter Reed Medical Center.
We send patients home with medications all the time.
He says there's no evidence of live virus in the president's system anymore.
Though he may not entirely be out of the woods yet, the team and I agree that all our evaluations, and most importantly, his clinical status, support the president's safe return home, where he'll be surrounded by world-class medical care 24/7.
Mr. Trump's spokeswoman, Kayleigh McEnany, announced earlier today she has tested positive for COVID. She says she is not experiencing symptoms. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, wow. 50 years and still growing, and they're doing such a great job right now. And what, talk about demand as the cool weather hopefully starts to settle in. The mornings are beautiful and people are turning their attention to the garden and they need some green things. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And GreenThingsAZ.com, a 13-acre site, has just about everything you need for the garden. And, of course, they have Zocalo Village with that extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, and handmade furniture. Check out ZocaloVillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Property Management and Real Estate. On the live line is General John Wickham, retired four-star General Wickham, who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and the Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the Eighth Army in Korea. He is the author of Korea on the Brink, which chronicled a very dangerous period in Korea in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year in the hospital recovering. He returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all prisoners of war. He's a 1950 graduate of West Point. He retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times calls General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army. General Wickham, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Wonderful to be on your wonderful program and all the good things that it does for our population.
And one of the things that that you tried to change and did so very successfully was getting more diversity in the military command. This new investigative piece from USA Today shows that there are few black officers in the highest ranks of the U.S. Army. For example, when it comes to four-star generals, there are 11 white four-star generals, one black. When there are going down to three stars, 37 white, eight black, two stars, 90 white, only 15 black. You made a concerted effort when you were heading up the Army to change the diversity. What happened? Why have we reverted back to what we are now seeing?
Exactly right, Bill. And we tend to, as a society, to follow our own values and our own views on things. And when I became head of the Army, I was told we were not selecting minorities for command. And if you don't get selected for command, you're not going to get promoted. So I looked into it and I discovered that we were only selecting 3% of our people for command brigades and divisions. And what to do about that? So I wrote in my personal handwriting to the instructions of every selection board for 4 years. The handwriting said you will select in accordance with the density in the military, or you explained to me why you could not. The effect was electric, and we began to do that and select people like Colin Powell and others, quality people of leaders. Unfortunately, when I left the Army Chief of Staff, we reverted back to the old way of doing it. And guess what? We're back to maybe 3 or 4% selecting to command. And so we've got to fix that. And the only way to fix it is for leaders to ensure that we do the right thing for the right reasons for the benefit of the force as a whole. And we're not doing that adequately, in my humble opinion. As an illustration of that, guess what we're doing? We're building the wall between Mexico and the United States, and much of the money for that wall is coming out of Defense Department funds and Veterans Affairs funds that are being diverted to the wall. And I've seen that in my own personal situation with medical insurance premiums. My premiums have gone up 400%.
Wow.
Because I'm paying for the wall, unfortunately. And I think it's a shame that we're doing that on the backs of the veterans. And it's an illustration we don't do the right things adequately in our society. We need to do a much better job.
Boy, I hope we're not diverting funds from the VA for suicide prevention. These new numbers are just astounding. Suicide among active duty and veterans is up 30% this year. A real hot spot is Fort Bragg. I think you spent some time there, didn't you, General?
Yeah, that's right. And I commanded the 101st Airborne Division, which was part of the 18th Airborne Corps, headquartered at Fort Bragg. You're right, Bill. We need to do a much better job of looking out for the future of our society and our activities. And in the military, we need to do a much better job than we're doing right now.
I want to ask you, General, with the commander-in-chief, when President Trump tested positive and then had to be taken over to the hospital, would you have advocated among the Joint Chiefs to put American forces on alert? When we are at a vulnerable position like that, when you have the chief executive hospitalized, some say we may, it opens us up to be very vulnerable to bad actors. Some of your thoughts on that, sir?
You're exactly right, Bill, and I think it's another illustration of the quality medical care that we don't walk the talk about that in our military. Yes, we do care for our veterans, and we do care for the active duty people, but we are not putting the funds into the programs, nor are we manning the hospitals or the research units to do that. We've got a grandson now who's a medical doctor, West Point graduate, and so we see from his angle that circumstance. We see it also with our granddaughter, who is now a physician's assistant. So they're involved with the medical care of our military. We need to do a better job by putting more resources into research, into manning of our hospitals, and into quality care in our military organizations. So we need to walk the talk, and we're not doing adequately enough.
China's watching this, I'm sure, very carefully, what's unfolding in this country.
Oh, that's right, and I'm sure other countries are doing the same thing, and we're not sending in much of an example of leadership there, and we need to do a better job of it.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. How are you doing? You sound real strong.
Well, Bill, you bring that out in me and other people, and that's the value of your wonderful program that is so objective and so involved in trying to educate our population about real issues that affect the future of our beloved nation. So I applaud what you do, and I applaud also the vendors that support your program that do an adequate job of doing this for the nation.
General John Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. You sound great.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. General Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. General Wickham is with us the first Monday of the month, generally the first Monday, depends on some months we do have a holiday. Also the first Monday of the month, we have Keith Rosenblum, who will have our Mexico report. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show. And the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back. back with Keith.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The Buckmaster Show thanks Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico for their support. Start planning now to visit Silver City so you'll be ready when New Mexico opens to out-of-state visitors. The website, southwestnewmexico.org, there you'll find all sorts of information about great places to stay and all sorts of wonderful opportunities to recreate, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. He was a congressional aide for quite a while, for a long time, United States Representative Jim Colby, who served this area. I don't even want to guess, Keith, how many years Jim was in Congress. Do you happen to remember?
Hello, Bill. Hi. Hello, audience. Bill, Jim was 10 terms
in
the House.
Wow. 20,
so 20 years.
20 years.
The state legislature. So it's hardly, yeah, it was not an unknown when he ran for Congress for the first time. I think that was McNulty. That part I don't know. But yes. That is Jim. And Jim, actually, of recent distinction, Jim resigned from the Republican Party. So all respect or praise to Jim for having done that, because it is not the party that he bought, which he's an ideologue. And he and lots of others signed the notorious renunciation of the party and said that they would not be a member any longer, and I believe would be voting for Biden. That part I need to double check, but I'm pretty sure he and Jeff Flake and the others that signed the letter, because later on, John McCain's widow would do it, Cindy, said she's for Biden as well. So what a fractured political environment. And yes, I was all those things you just said, there were so many formers and so many exes. It makes me wonder if I have a life today or all I am. Just like that was you reading from my obit.
Well,
you've gone ahead and prepared.
As far as I can tell, your heart is beating right now. And that's the most important thing as we try to live for the moment during these very tumultuous times. Keith, how is Mexico watching this election? And I'm sure they're watching it very carefully. They do not have a presidential election coming up. Their terms are for 6 years. So I want to say that the president has at least four more down in Mexico.
The president does have four to go.
Yeah.
He just completed his second anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, from Keith's brilliant standpoint, Mexicans they have an eye trained on us, but it's an eye that keeps flinching and looking back to Mexico because what's happening in their own country is so weird. In other words, everything that we think is without parallel and, oh my God, I can't believe it, in the U.S. is happening at the same exact pace in Mexico. So that last week, there was this really strange, we're all still trying to figure it out, but basically, President López Obrador, I watch him every morning, and by the way, I want you to, this is probably what would eventually get me committed to a mental institution, as opposed to having me put on an academic pedestal. But I watch López Obrador every morning.
Wow.
I watch him live from Mexico City. Anyone can see him. You just put in your Google browser or your YouTube browser, put in AMLO, which are his initials, AMLO, and then Noticiero, with the word for newscast. 5 days a week, you can see this man live, pontificating, extolling, criticizing. It's the most interesting sideshow. I really feel every morning as if I've been entertained. I don't need HBO and I don't need Netflix. I don't need any other mechanism, because watching the president of Mexico is fascinating to me. I have like a morbid curiosity, and he satiates it. Every day there's something new. Anyway, the thing that has Mexico obsessed at this moment is that López Obrador said, because as we all know, he is a man of the pueblo. He's like Hugo Chavez or Nicolás Maduro in Venezuela. He is a man of the people, and so therefore he responds to the people's every need, and that's the way he couches everything. I will do this because of the people. I will take that action because of the people. The people demand this. The people do that. And so it's wound up being this every day. You have to wonder, what is this guy going to say the people are demanding of him today? Well, the people, if you believe this version of the way that he sees the world, the people have demanded that the last five presidents of Mexico, which would be Carlos Salinas, Felipe Calderón, Enrique Peña Nieto, Vicente Fox, and who am I missing? I'll think of the fifth in a second. Oh, Ernesto Zedillo, that they all be judged. That's the code word for jailed by the Mexicans. So he manages, in the name of the people, to get a referendum passed that says we, the Mexican people, find it necessary that our past five presidents, by the way, that spans 30 years. The presidential term in Mexico is 6 years. And so this is fascinating, because he actually is, with this referendum, that means that the next step, did I lose you, Bill? Are you still there?
I'm still there, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. The next step is to have a trial. The next step is for them to be put on trial.
Mexico.
So this has the country spellbound right now. And I'm spellbound too, because these guys are the most powerful people. There's never been a prosecution of an ex-president like this, and they're going to go after all five of them, and that will allow López Obrador to solidify his own power base, which is fascinating. He's taking all these building blocks for basically to become an emperor.
Where are the trials taking place? They're out of country, some of them, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Zedillo's at Yale, or last I knew he was at Yale. Salinas was in Ireland. Peña Nieto was in Spain.
Wow.
And there's no trials yet. In other words, it's not a trial right now. It's should they be held accountable. And the Supreme Court of Mexico came back with a decision last week, 6-5, that said, yes, past presidents can be judged because they actually had immunity from prosecution for the kind of same thing as our president. Sitting president cannot be put on trial for something, although there's, you know, kind of rules in civil cases. The Trump presidency has been beset by this. And so there are some judges that said, oh, yeah, that can proceed as a civil issue. But for criminal issues or ongoing things, you can't go after a sitting president. Well, same thing in Mexico. And they enjoy immunity, or they have enjoyed immunity afterwards as well. So, you know, could each one of them be found guilty of some crime against the Mexican people and embezzlement? Probably yes. But it's stunning that he's doing it. The presidents have always been untouchable. And this is a daring, volatile maneuver on the part of a populist president who still, while his party enjoys very low ratings, hello, can anyone think Republicans, the president himself enjoys actually quite good ratings. So he's been able to push these things through. He says, of course, I'm not out for vengeance. This is not the way that I do things. And yet the people, and this is the way he couches it, the people are demanding it, ergo, I must act.
Has he taken a position in the American presidential race?
In Mexico, positions like that are always taken implicitly or subtly or with nuance. And the answer is, he keeps thanking President Trump for not intervening in Mexico's affairs, as if you know, that's a great thing. Like, we should applaud people for not, you know, like the Buckmaster should applaud me for not, you know, interfering in your dinner hour or something. It's a weird concept. Not that you've ever said thank you to me for anything, but he keeps thanking President Trump for this. He went to Washington to celebrate the new NAFTA, whatever we call it, the new trade agreement. And he's widely perceived to be winking at President Trump. And President Trump, in the same way that President López Obrador, always is decrying fake news, always decrying, he has this messianic complex. I think we're living in North America, unless, I mean, right now, Justin Trudeau has never looked so normal. While we have two presidents who absolutely believe that they are beleaguered and believe that they are their messianic figures.
You know, that six-year, one-year term sure seems appealing, doesn't it? Boy, would that change things here in the United States if we had
I can tell you it would have changed in Keith Rosenblum's world. When John McCain ran for president, I kept thinking if John McCain, I mean, obviously we don't have a six-year term, but if John McCain had said, even with what I thought was the horrendous choice of Sarah Palin, if he had just said, I'm going to seek one term,
right,
because I'll be old and it'll be controversial, I would have voted for him right there. I would have voted for him against Obama in a second. So I think that he was a good man, but I think that those choices of a vice president and the choice of a single campaign are almost always made cynically with an eye toward the second campaign. And so, you know, second 4 years. So I think you're right. I think that the six-year term actually allows people, in year one and year two, they kind of consolidate their power. Year three and four, they start acting. Year five, they're solidifying things. What makes this referendum on the past president so stunning is that they've always enjoyed a kind of like our president's always enjoyed a post-presidential term sacredness, or, you know, a taboo status. You can bring them up, they appear from time to time, but for the most part, they stay out of the news. The idea that Mexico is going to prosecute them, which they are going to do, that referendum is just couched in such a way that it says, should we have a referendum to look at what they've done? What anyone who knows López Obrador is doing is saying, should we bring these men, should we put these men in prison? That's really the ultimate line.
Wow. Keith, I'm going to have to wrap it up. I've got about 40 seconds with you. I'm hearing that there are some loosening on restrictions of travel to Mexico, anything on that, or are you going to say that?
I will say this: there has been no risk, from my standpoint, from the standpoint of those of us who go to Nogales and Ciudad de Nemuris and places, there haven't been any in the beginning from the onset. The Mexicans cannot come up here. We've loosened restrictions come October 21st or whatever the exact date is. The Mexicans have never kept us from going for either business, vacation, or anything else.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Keith.
Good to talk to you and the audience too, Bill. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum, he does our Mexico report. and that airs normally the first Monday of each month. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management for being our sponsor of the Buckmaster Show Liveline. That's going to do it for the first Monday in October show of Buckmaster. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this is the end of the endless summer this week, and I'm hearing that next weekend we may get relief. Boy, I hope so. Thanks, John Couch, engineering and producing the show. Hope you have a great afternoon, everybody.